As we finished off 2018, you know, I left you with this thought that, right, because we spent a good portion of time, probably months, right? Because when we wake up to who we are, right? When we wake, it's a game changer. When all of a sudden we wake up to this is what God says about me. Right? It's a game changer. The enemy's got lies about you. God has a different story. God says something different about you, right? And we're waking up to that. We use the word identity, right? So God's revealing our identity. And as we talk about that, Scripture shows us, hey, this is what my kids look like. This is how they walk. This is what I've empowered them to do. And we talk about praying for the sick. We talk about signs and wonders. We talk about a powerful kingdom and us having the authority of walking in that kingdom. What does it look like to be a son of God? When he calls you son, when he calls you daughter, it's like, and you realize I've got heaven backing me up, and I know who I am as dad's kid, right? And I have the full resource of heaven. What does that look like? And so we're waking up to who we are, and then our identity. But the truth is, sometimes our reality, our experience doesn't look like that, does it? Mm. Right? So there's this mismatch. Here's who I am. You're telling me all these great things. But here's my experience today. I'm not enjoying that. I'm not walking. I'm not seeing that, right? So there's a gap between our identity and our experience, who we are and where we are, right? And the enemy loves that gap because that's where he comes in and says, gotcha. Because he's going to exploit that and say, you know why there's a big gap there, right? And that's where the lies come back in, right, Adolf?
So that's where you get back to being like a little kid.
Right.
When you're a child and your dad says, hey, he tells you something. Well, you're going to believe your dad. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do what he says. So in the same way, our father's telling us, hey, when you go pray for somebody, they're going to get well. Well, when we believe it as a child and we do that, it's going to happen.
Right. So now we realize the believe it's going to happen, right? Because this is what Paul's going after with the early church. Here's who he says you are. Here's what he says should be your experience, your reality in this new kingdom. And we're not getting the gap there. Paul says it's because right here in our minds, we're still struggling with the truth of this is what he says about us. This is what my kids look like in kingdom. This is who you are. Right, so Paul calls that the renewed mind. He says, look, the battle is right here. The battle is, we're closing the gap between our identity, right, who we are, and our experience, our reality, where we are, right? And Paul says, that's the renewed mind, right? So the Bible, and I'm just kind of summarizing some things from last time we were together. So the Bible uses a word for us. It talks about repentance. Right? We wonder, well, how does that fit in that story? What I just said there? Because our understanding of repentance in the past has been, I'm a bad guy. I stink. I have got all this bad in me. I've got all these wrong things. And there's a measure of truth in that, because what are we realizing? Oh, this isn't who God says I am.
Right.
That's true, right? But it's the bigger part of repentance is understanding what the whole thing really is supposed to mean, right? So we looked at that word repentance, and it was metanoia, the Greek word metanoia, right? Which some preachers, you'll hear them talk about changing and turning, right? And if you break down the word metanoia, it's meta and nous. And it has to do with being together, meta, right? And nous, which is of the mind. So it's saying, right, repentance is about being of one mind. One mind with, you answer it,
Jesus.
With who?
Christ.
Right? With Christ.
He even says it.
Because he tells us, right? He tells us in Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. This, that you would be one with me as I'm with you. So repentance is saying, here, I'll put it this way. Repentance is, this is what God says about me. God says about me, and here's what I say about me. Mm. Right? Repentance, God says, is to make those thoughts the same.
Right.
Right.
To bring your thoughts about you into agreement with His thoughts about you. Right? That's the togetherness of mind, togetherness of thought, right? We're aligning ourselves with His thoughts, right? I love how Bill Johnson says all the time, I can't afford a thought in my head that's not in His.
Right.
Right.
Right? So repentance is just bringing our mind, I need to step into agreement with what He's saying. Right? Do you see that it's more than just an issue of I'm bad or I've got some bad things in me, some wrongdoing, some wrong thinking, right? That's what we would call penance, right? I need to be punished for this, in fact. I should be judged for this. Something should happen here, right? So the better word is reform. Not right for metanoia, it's to reform. We're basically realigning, stepping into a new way of thinking, okay? The Old Testament, when we learned the law, right? What did law expose? Law exposed wrong thinking. Okay.
Right.
But it didn't give you an answer.
Right.
Nope.
It just said wrong thinking. Well, the law exposed sin. Right? And I told you, sin is this mask on, this is what God is saying. So the law said, hey, this is sin. But it didn't say, now what? Mm. Right? We learned it, we had a revelation of this, now, but Jesus comes, and what did Jesus talk on? Was His message sin? No. You know, His message was righteousness. Mm-hmm. What He comes, what Jesus came to reveal is, yes, that's true. You've got this, this mask. Think of it like a hood on your head. Right? Like the guy who gets kidnapped, hood on the head. Jesus says, wait. Here's who you are. He takes the hood off. Let's deal with getting the hood off. And oh, by the way, get oriented now. Here's who you are. This is how you live. This is how you believe, right? So Jesus came to reveal that. It's the answer to the sin problem, okay? So Darla and I were having this conversation a few days ago, and it sort of lines up with the New Year-ish thing, because what's one thing we tend to do at New Year's?
Resolutions.
Right? In fact, it's always interesting. If you go to the gym,
It's crowded.
It's crowded, right? January is always crowded because everybody decides, I'm going to lose this.
Yeah.
Finally. That's right. Because resolution, think of the word, resolute. It's like, I am determined to change something. Right? I have an action that this action will solve this problem. Mm-hmm. That's what a resolution is. And what Darla and I were talking about is like, okay, and we talked about it before worship even, it's like, okay, God, the encounter is what stirs me. Mm-hmm. That it's the encounter with You that comes and it gets me out of that complacent place. So Darla and I had this conversation this week about how do you get hungry? It's like if you're complacent and position it anything, maybe it's about your body and exercise. Maybe it's about your relationship, or maybe it's about just the Lord. And we were talking about the Lord. We thought, how do I get hungry for more of Him? Because I've gotten in maybe a rut or maybe just a routine. And it's like, God, how do I get the more back?
The spark.
How do I get the spark back? And so we had this conversation. Maybe you can help me with it. How do you incite hunger? Any thoughts on that? How do you incite hunger?
See it, smell it, taste it.
Yeah. Ask for it. You know, I told Darla, I said, sometimes it would be like what Adolf says, remind about this. Remember that when this happened, in the building, or remember when, and maybe it's about praying for a miracle we've seen, and we'll share testimonies. And it's like all for hope of like exciting you, encouraging you, motivating you, right? It's like, I think those are good ways. What are other ways you can like entice hunger for more? Mm. What are ways?
Spending time with him.
How do you do that?
You just sit and then you meditate on past experiences or a scripture, or maybe there's something on your heart that you really desire, and you sit and you meditate on it.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
It made me think, I don't, because I was in the other room, so I don't know what you just said, if you said this
getting
or not,
hungry.
But it made me think of,
getting hungry.
I've heard the phrase, in the natural, we eat and get full. In the spirit, so many things in the spirit realm is opposite. And that in the spirit, we eat to get hungry. So the things that I feed myself, my spirit with, or my soul with, and for me, like I'll listen to, you know, I'll like pull up online testimonies or sermons or worship, or I'm constantly just reading, all the connections that we have, blogs or books or anything, but constantly filling my mind. And it does exactly that. It makes me, I just start craving more, and you need, and so you're feeding yourself, and in the spirit, it creates a hunger for more.
I believe that encounters always lead to hunger.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
An encounter with him always leads to hunger. So, and I realize in a room, even like this, I talked about that gap between your idea, who you are and where you are, your identity and your experience, right? Mm. This is what I believe, but my reality is this. And so in a room like this, each one of us, that gap's different, mm-hmm. right? And some of you that might be struggling with one truth aren't struggling with this one, right? And so the way that Darla might incite
right.
hunger might be different than how you incite hunger. And so I'm very aware and cognizant of that. But I was telling Darla, I said, you know, if I try to like slice this up into what I would call like core foundation, the building blocks of everything we just said this morning about who we are, who he says we are, walking in that truth, there is four, and we've talked about these, so I'm not going to teach on them right now, but who said, there are four what I call pillars that kind of rest under that. One of that is about the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. And we would say, look, you know, pillar number one, God's good.
Right.
God is good. And the enemy's going to go after that and cause you to question it. And he's going to cause you to maybe make it a quid pro quo. In other words, he's good if you do this.
Right.
Or don't expect his goodness because you did this. But and so we're learning to settle on this absolute truth. He's good. He's good. I'm learning to grasp. I'm learning to come to terms with that. But he's good. He has one nature. Good.
Right.
And he just releases love. That's all he can do. He's not bipolar. He has one expression.
Right.
One.
Right.
So God is good.
Yeah.
The second truth, second pillar is that He finished everything at the cross. Mm. Nothing was left undone. Right? If you're wondering, you know, I'll say it this way. You know, sometimes we're waiting for God to do something. He's done everything. and by the way, he's withholding nothing from you. Mm. It's not, well, when John does these things, then I'll give him more. Do you know that God has 100% released the fullness of heaven, the fullness of who he is to you, right? That's why I love the talk of children and infants and babies in the Lord, because there is no junior or baby Holy Spirit.
Right.
The same one for that newborn, that young one is the same as the one that's 90, The same Holy Spirit, the same fullness of Holy Spirit, the same response from heaven, regardless of age, regardless of whether or not you went to Bible school or not, or if you accepted Jesus yesterday or 50 years ago, it doesn't matter. It's the fullness of, So, and everything was taken care of at the cross. Everything. So if you're wondering, wait, God, what about? God, he says everything was taken care of at the cross. The total, he emptied himself. The totality of who he is, the fullness of his love was given.
Right.
Nothing was left on the table. All chips went in. The third truth, third pillar is your significance in this whole story. And I would just say it this way, I am significant. Say that. I am significant. That's what God says about you. And the, again, the enemy's going to come lie to you about that. He's going to come and confuse you about that. He's going to distort the facts about it. The truth is, you're plan A. God has no other plan. His gift of kingdom was to you. The invitation into the circle of Father and Son and Holy Spirit was to you. Very personal, right? He says, you, I need you. I'm calling you son. There's no exceptions.
Right.
I'm calling you. You're my kid. He's not struggling about who you are. He's Father. He knows.
That's a good
right?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm significant. You put all that together, the full goodness of God, nothing's been left out. Everything was given to you. Mm-hmm. And you realize, this is who I am, right? Now we get to this. He says, nothing's impossible. Nothing is impossible. That's why we can pray for blind eyes to be open and go, well, I don't know. I guess it was God's will that he be sick. It is never, that's a lie.
Right.
It is never God's will that you be tormented, that you be hurt, that you be in pain, that you be in crisis. It's, and one of the biggest lies that came out of the church is we said, oh, he's teaching you something. No!
Yeah, right.
That does not line up with Scripture. That does not line up with Scripture, right? God is not, because in fact, Scripture says, what cruel father, when a son asks for this, gives him this.
Right.
Asks for bread, gives him a stone. What cruel father? Right? He's a perfect, perfectly good father, right?
Right,
so I told Darla, I said, you know, this thing about hunger, I believe that in those pillars, and maybe this is a 2019 message for you, God's good. Everything was paid for at the cross. I'm significant and nothing's impossible. I believe that that gap you might be experiencing, and we're all in there, by the way.
Right.
We all have that gap somewhere. God is releasing an encounter on one of those pillars for you, okay? And maybe it's about that you would settle the issue about his goodness. Maybe you're settling the issue about, you know, really he paid for this? I mean, you don't know what I did when I was 20 or when I was 15 or when I was 30, you know? I cheated, I lied, I stole. Really, he paid for that? Maybe that's the wrestling match. Or maybe it's this thought about being a son, right? But I believe that there's encounters he's going to release to you. And I think they're going to start now. I mean, immediately. That they're going to encourage you and motivate you and stir passion inside of you. Here's the fun thing about passion, right? When God makes you hungry, do you know what happens when you're hungry? I believe, and you probably have your own answer. One, I think you dream. I think you dream, right? And I'm not talking about just when you sleep, by the way. I mean, having a goal, an expectation
of
more, of right, abundance, right, of a miracle, of like that next thing, right? So hunger, his encounter leads to hunger.
I believe
that hunger releases the dreaming inside of you, the more inside of you. I believe that that hunger gives you passion. I think it gives you... gives you courage. What do you think it gives you? What do you think this gives you? What do you think hunger releases as an attribute?
Faith.
You ever see somebody sick? You know you have the answer. I should pray for that person. And I don't say this because I'll just say me. I'll tell my story. I see a person, they're sick, maybe it's at work, and I go, I should pray for them. And you know what I do? It's work. I don't want to embarrass them. Maybe it's, you know, it's the marketplace. I probably have to be careful about releasing this in the market. Do you ever have those kinds of things right. in your head? Maybe you're at Starbucks or maybe you're at Walmart and you're like, I know. Something inside of you that says, I have a response. I have an answer here. And you withhold it because
for whatever.
Fear or whatever.
But when you're really hungry, you go for it.
Right.
Yeah.
It gives you courage.
It gives you courage.
Yeah.
Right? I know what's going to happen here. So I just believe that I'm asking for hunger. And I don't know what God's, Darla and I may start talking some more on this together in the coming weeks. God wants to release hunger to you. And, sometimes you want to make people hungry. You put out a lot of nice food.
Let me just say this about hunger.
Go ahead.
I mean, and this is for everybody. It takes discipline. I mean, I'm talking just the small stuff. Spending time with him, quiet time with him, reading your word, just sitting there and reflecting or meditating on the scripture. Our minds are pretty much, what I'm saying is our minds are being centered on him. Then the more our heart and our mind is centered on him, he's going to give you stuff.
Yeah.
He's going to give you stuff.
Right.
And there's no ifs, ands, or doubts about it. When we go after him, I mean, he's chasing us more than we chase him. Mm-hmm. By the way.
Right.
So
I was just thinking too.
Because I want to share some scripture here.
Sometimes we get in a familiar rut, or not even a rut, but what's comfortable and familiar with us. And I was just thinking, for me, it's like, and so maybe I just need to change it up a little bit. Maybe if my habit is every morning I read one chapter, maybe I need to do that differently. Maybe I need to, pick a verse and meditate on it. Read just the one verse and look up the words and know what it's really saying. Or maybe it's, I just, like, when it pops into my mind, and then I might pray or read something or, any of that. And so maybe instead it needs to be, at this time of the day, I'm going to be very intentional. I'm going to spend 15 minutes to just do this. My lunch hour, or just to shake it up, do something different. I think that starts to awaken us too.
Mm-hmm.
To some hunger.
We've talked about this before, like an exercise. You might go to the gym every day.
Right.
But do you know that if you do the same exercise every day, you begin to diminish the impact or the effect of that exercise because your body actually kind of learns that motion, right? And so you think, I'm going to the gym. It's awesome. And your body's going.
And you think you're in shape.
Right.
And then you go mountain bike.
So by the way, that's what she's talking about.
Right.
Right? So the same dynamics work here, right? The same dynamics work in the spirit is change it up. And that's different for each one of you, right?
Right.
I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it looks different on a Sunday morning. Maybe I always sit here. Maybe I'm going to stand there.
Right.
Maybe it looks like, I've always wanted to just come sit on a pillow right there. Just sit on a pillow right there. And so do something different. Practice. Maybe take that as an assignment this week. Think about, what could I do different? God, it's if I'm looking for an encounter. God, incite hunger. I want more. Right? What can I do? Let's just, you decide. Ask Holy Spirit, what can I do different? What can I do different for hunger? And because we're asking for more, and I could just say miracles. God, I want a miracle. Maybe it's a miracle in my thinking. Maybe it's a miracle in my finances. I don't know, but there's more. The miracle's found in the encounter, right? The miracle's found in an encounter with his presence, right? And the way you're going to get there is to say yes to presence.
Be a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
So, with just a few minutes, and I'm watching time, and I know we started late this morning, but I'd like to read a very familiar piece of scripture to you that I think answers the encounter leading to hunger, leading to miracles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Luke chapter 1, and it's the angel visiting Mary. Okay. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will also be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren." Miracle. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." I just, some truth out of there that's relevant to what all those pillars we talked about. The first one is that first thing about the goodness of God, right? Look, what does God say about you? And shortest answer is possible. What's he say about you?
Accepted.
Okay. What else?
I love you.
I love you.
Happy.
Happy? What
I'm
else?
Awesome.
You're awesome. Anybody else? What does God say about you?
Delighted.
He's delighted in you.
Yeah.
Right? Do you realize that the first thing he's affirming when the angel comes and connects with Mary is that? The first thing the angel says to her is, "Oh, look at," he's like, "rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you," right? It's almost like, I know that this is one of your primary struggles. I don't know who I am.
Right.
I don't feel significant. I don't believe it. And in verse 28 of Luke chapter 1, God says this about her, right? "You're highly favored in my eyes." This is what he says about you. "You're highly favored in my eyes," right? This is what he says about Mary. "You're blessed." This is what he says about you. "You're blessed."
Right.
This is what he says about Mary. "You're worthy, and you're valued, and you're honored." This is what he says about you. "You're worthy,
mm-hmm.
you're valued, and you're honored."
Right.
And you go, well, wait a second. Let's not put Mary on a pedestal here, right? And so God says this in verse 32. What does he say about Jesus? He will be great.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be called the Son of the Most Highest, the Lord God. Here's what's so cool about God. He's affirming your identity without compromising his own.
Right. And he's not worried about that.
He's not, it's like, oh, I gotta be careful that that Don doesn't get too big-headed here thinking he's so amazing, right? God says he knows who he is.
Right.
I know he knows who he is.
There's no threat.
He's coming. No threat whatsoever. No compromise. It's like, but here's who you are.
Right.
Right? So God's coming and he stirs up Mary. It's like, you're blessed, you're valued, you're honored, and this is who you are.
Jesus said the same thing.
Right? No kidding.
Same things I'm doing, you're gonna do. And even greater.
Verse 33 says this. His kingdom is what? Forever.
Mm.
Right? So it's like, well, wait a second. That was then. What about now? Well, the miracles were for the apostles, and the apostles aren't here, so it's now.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hebrews tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is affirming. Jesus is making sure you understand, right? The wholeness of heaven in him is in you.
Right.
The fullness of Christ is in you to do what Scripture says. The miracles.
Yep,
to do everything that God told. He's like, here's what I did. Now you go do those things.
Right.
Okay? So he says, my kingdom never ends. So you need to know this. His authority is never surrendered in any case. Right? There's that pillar about everything was taken care of at the cross. We're waking up to our significance,
right.
the goodness of God,
right.
My value in this kingdom, right? What he's promised for me. And then what does he say in near the end of this? He tells us that the connection between me and that favor, the connection between me and this greatness, the connection between my identity and my experience, he tells me in the story to Mary, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. All of a sudden, I've got, it's like a tether. It's like a, it's like your plug into heaven. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Right? The connection between me, his favored one,
right,
his favorite, his valued one, his honored one, his blessed one, the connection between me and heaven, the kingdom of heaven, is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Heaven is going to touch earth through me.
Mm.
Heaven's going to touch earth through you, right? He tells us that the power of the Holy One, it's called dunamis. Dunamis. It's the same word we get for, by the way,
dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
That explosive power that's in him is in you and Darla.
Yeah.
Right? He says, you're literally, because of that tether to the kingdom of heaven, because of that tether, that Holy Spirit resource of, like, it's like you plugged into heaven. Because of that, this dunamis power has been released. It literally says overshadows you. It's like you're dripping wet with this, right? So what's the last pillar? Remember, the goodness of God, the fullness of everything in heaven's been released to you. Your significance, you're waking up to your value. What's that fourth pillar? Nothing's impossible.
Right.
So the angel tells her, because what does she say?
How can this be?
How can this possibly be? Right? And all of a sudden, you start lining up all the blocks here. God says, when all this, we step into agreement, right? Repentance, one mind. When we come into agreement with what God is saying here, this is what is released, and when that is released, when that order is established, when those pillars come together, nothing's impossible, right? So the miracle, the expectation for more, the dreaming that you have when hunger comes, and maybe your dreaming is about a kid who will make a different decision.
Right.
Maybe the dreaming is about a life event that you're waiting for an open door. Maybe it's about a physical need in your body for God heal this, right? We dream, right? We have an expectation of heaven moving on our behalf. All these things come together and do this, right? Nothing's impossible, okay? So as we step into 2019, I'll just end it there. Let's just ask.
So let me share what happened on Thursday.
Go ahead.
So Thursday I went to the hospital. I'm a volunteer chaplain at the hospital. So I got to pray for three ladies there. Two of them weren't in pain or anything, but you could tell they were depressed because they didn't want to be there. And so I prayed for the first two, and I just invited the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and just ask them to just give them refreshing to lift up the heaviness and depression and all that. And both those ladies, when everything was said and done, were sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit. The depression was gone. They actually said, yes, I felt joyful. And that was awesome. The third lady that I prayed for, she actually had pain in her body. She had like ruptured disc in her lower back, was in chronic pain. It was at that time, it was at 8. And anyway, long story short, and she was also feeling down because of that. So we prayed, and anyway, long story short, the pain went to zero. She was feeling no more pain, and she was also in a place of joyfulness and peace, and she could actually sense the presence of the Lord.
That's awesome.
So the response, I mean, right, is Mary says, yes, yes, right? Scripture says it this way. She says, let it be to me. Let those things happen in me.
Mm.
Let those things happen in me.
Right, right, right.
Right. So our prayer is, as we go today, is God, we want more. God, we have an expectation for more. And so we pray for hunger to come, God. We pray for our passion to be stirred. We pray for our confusion to go away. God, we pray for the fear to be removed. God, that your love would just saturate us this morning. And today we say, yes, God, let it be to me. God, let it happen in me this morning. God, we want more. God, we want more. So Holy Spirit, come in dreams this week. Come in visitations this week. Come in moments where you give colors, you give numbers, you give words, you give pictures, God. You give assignments, God. We say yes to those things right now, God. We say yes to the more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.